You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We get ready for the Nets and the Bucks game 6. Hawks over the 76ers last night. And the Hawks, the pesky Hawks, are up 3-2 in this series. Clippers over the Jazz. Typical Clippers. Yep, they're not going to win this game. And then they do. They're up 3-2 in the series. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Say good morning to our TV partner. That's Peacock, our streaming service. Download the app. Watch all 3 hours for free. And our radio affiliates around the country. Of course, the Fox Sports Radio lineup, iHeart Radio as well. The gang is here. If last night's 76ers Jazz losses taught us anything, it's the number one seed doesn't mean that much. Both teams were at home. Both teams favored. 76ers blew a 26-point lead. Jazz couldn't take advantage of a Clippers team that didn't have Kawhi Leonard. These games are a reminder that the playoffs are a whole different ballgame than the regular season. Philadelphia is trying to hide Ben Simmons' poor free throw shooting in the regular season. And they did a pretty good job. But in the playoffs, oh, it's front and center. We'll hear from Ben coming up in a moment. The Jazz, a great three-point shooting team during the regular season. And they were last night in the first half. They were 17 of 30 from three-point range in the first half. That's what teams do for an entire game. But the Clippers were only down 5 at halftime, thanks to Paul George. That's what I thought was really telling. The Jazz were doing what the Jazz did during the regular season, and it didn't matter. The Clippers weren't going away. 17 threes in the first half, 3 in the second half. Now, neither series is over. Can you count on the Clippers to close out the Jazz game 6? What about the Hawks? Can they close out the 76ers? We'll see how both of these teams respond to the pressure, or if they're going to blow a great opportunity to have a deep postseason run. You got the Nets, who were sort of on the ropes a little bit. The Lakers aren't in there. This is wide open. And there's going to be some coaches, some GMs, some owners who say, we had a great opportunity. We missed an opportunity here to try to slip in and maybe steal an NBA championship. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll start with the 76ers blowing that lead. Here's Doc Rivers, the 76ers head coach.
Listen, we scored 19 points and gave up 40. So it's on us, it's on all of us, it's on me, it's on the players, and we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game 7.
And then you have Ben Simmons, who finally admitted what most of us thought when it comes to shooting free throws.
Even though you've never been the best free throw shooter, do you feel at this point, your problem is more mental than with form?
Definitely, I think mental. We were up, we had it. And I think we just gave it to him. We got too comfortable and didn't play the way we should be playing.
When you say it's mental, that's big. He's 4 of 14 from the line. He was 22 for 67 for the playoffs. That's 32%. In NBA history, among the players who have attempted at least 40 free throws in the postseason, only Ben Wallace has a worst postseason free throw percentage, and he shot 27%.
Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Can't be a superstar and a liability. You can't. And that's what you have with Ben Simmons. I know Doc Rivers is trying to say the right things about Ben Simmons. And for everybody who tells me, you know, he's unique and he puts pressure on the defense and he can get to the hoop and he can, first of all, he's like Lonzo Ball. He's a taller left-handed version of Lonzo Ball. In fact, Lonzo might be a better shooter than him. But he's a liability because he doesn't want to take it to the hoop now because he doesn't want to get fouled. He doesn't want to go to the free throw line. He hurts you in a variety of ways here. Oh, he's a walking mismatch. He's like Magic. He can take over a game, doesn't have to score. I haven't seen it. Hey, he can rebound and he can pass. Okay, but he's a liability. And maybe he's just a good player. He's not great. He's good. Joel Embiid is great. But the mental part of this is sad. Because I don't root against Ben Simmons. You know, I want to see great players be great. But when it gets to be mental, that's different. And we've seen this before. We've seen athletes who it gets to them. It happens in golf all the time. You know, quarterbacks, they see ghosts. You know, they see things that aren't there. Baseball players, hey, I can't even throw the ball over to first base from second base. I can't throw it back to the pitcher. I'm on the mound. I can't throw it to the catcher. The mental aspect of this is something very, very serious. Now, it's just free throws, but it metastasizes. It becomes more than that. And then on, you know, when you get to the playoffs, now everybody sees it. If Ben Simmons goes 4-for-14 from the line during a regular season game against the Hawks in February, no one cares. Suddenly everybody cares. And for him to say it's mental, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it. This program is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. If you're looking for that last minute gift for Father's Day, you can go to dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick. dollarshaveclub.com/Patrick. As for the Clippers, Paul George did what Paul George is supposed to do. You were the franchise player in Indiana, Oklahoma City. You finished top three MVP one year. And you lived in Kawhi's shadow. There was no Kawhi, no shadow, and he was wonderful last night. Here is Paul George after last night's win.
It was just no secret coming into this. My teammates trust me. T-Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment, and we just played our hearts out tonight.
Yeah, give him credit. You know, he kept him. I thought the reason why they won this game is because Paul George was wonderful in the first half. He didn't let the Jazz build up an insurmountable lead at home. They only led by 5 at halftime. You know, Marcus Morris, he had another great game. He had 25, postseason career high. Reggie Jackson, once again. Terrence Mann, this is what you need. I don't know if Kawhi is going to be able to play in this series. I think that's still up in the air. And I give Ty Lue a lot of credit because I think he's great at adjusting in a game. And if it's lineups, matchups, I thought they exposed Rudy Gobert. Like, it's weird when you say somebody's the defensive player of the year, but he's not a factor. You know, Ben Simmons, oh, he should be up there for defensive player of the year. Is he really a factor? Like, it seems like it's a silly award. Hey, he's the defensive player of the year. All right, we're just going to run a pick and roll, and then we'll take advantage of that. We'll neutralize him. And that's what they've done. Ben Simmons, he's a great defender. Can he guard Trae Young? Well, you know, no, not really. Philadelphia can't guard these small guys. And by the way, this isn't just on Ben Simmons. It's an embarrassment. Tobias Harris, you're getting paid big boy bucks. Joel Embiid is out there playing his heart out and probably shouldn't be out there. He's going to need knee surgery. But somebody's got to want to be the second best player on the floor for the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, come on. You got to get somebody to step up. And the Hawks aren't going away. Like, once again, they don't know enough to be overmatched or nervous in a situation like that. They haven't been here. They're like, hey, let's go out. Let's play. When you're down that many points and you come back, it says a lot about both of these teams. And Doc Rivers, love Doc. Known Doc since he played in Atlanta. But Doc has got a resume of, you know, these kind of games in the postseason. He won the title with the Celtics and that kind of washed away everything prior to it. But last night, you can't hold on to a 26-point lead? This happened a lot of times when he was with the Clippers. You know? But that was some interesting basketball last night. I stopped watching the Hawks and the 76ers. I think I tuned in. There might have been 2 minutes to go. And I went, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was a mere formality. And then all of a sudden, you watch the start of the Jazz and the Clippers, and the Jazz are just shooting the lights out. And I thought, can they continue to do that as a team? Can Paul George continue to do that as an individual? And I was betting on the Jazz doing that. And you're at home. The 76ers, you're at home. Both of these franchises could look back on these performances in Game 5 and say, what the hell just happened?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, has got his quarterback list. And I'm always fascinated with this because Sims is not afraid. He'll put out this list, top 40 quarterbacks, and he's down to his top five. Actually, down to his top four, because I'm looking at the list here. Russell Wilson is five, Lamar Jackson six, Kyler Murray seven, Matthew Stafford eight, Dak Prescott nine, Tom Brady is 10. Let's bring in Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk Live. All right, give me the criteria for how you set up the rankings, Chris.
Sure. I got a, 40 quarterbacks. It's basically my depth chart, Dan. That's how I do it. Everybody's playing on the same team. We're not taking the advantages of, oh, this guy has this or this coach or whatever. You know, it's the same team. It's the same coaches. And here's my depth chart, 1 through 40, going into the 2021 season.
All right. We have some questions here.
Sure.
Who wants to start? Paulie, I'll let you start with Sims.
I don't know how obvious I want to go here. I guess I'll go obvious. So I have a better chance to win with Matthew Stafford as my quarterback than Tom Brady as my quarterback.
Well, yeah, I do believe that. Listen, Brady, hey, leadership, what he brought to that team, it's really special. And I took that all into account. In fact, I bumped him up in front of people where I would go, they're more talented. They can do more on the field than he can. But for that scenario and what he did with Tampa, he was the perfect fit. They needed polish down there and all of those type of things. Yes, okay. But at the same time, there's a lot of issues, and like Tom Brady's game is not perfect. And Matthew Stafford, don't get so blinded by, Detroit Lions and their record and everything like that. That's the only thing I would argue with you there is, I mean, who did you think Detroit was supposed to beat last year? What on their roster was really that special that you think Matt Stafford was supposed to look so great and do all those type of things? I can look at Tampa Bay and go, hey, they lost five losses in the regular season. You can legitimately look at all five and go, the main culprit in all five losses was Tom Brady. Let alone the NFC Championship game and those issues too. So Brady's awesome. His arm is still awesome. He makes very few plays off of schedule. He needs a certain type of support system around him right now, as to where I look at some of these other guys and go, they don't need it, and they can still make things happen and go that way. It's a tough one. And I know that's the one that everybody looks at. And nobody's happy unless I make Brady one or two. That's the only thing I can make happy, make everybody happy
no,
with.
No, I wouldn't put him there. But I would put him ahead
yeah,
of...
Yeah, you put him ahead of those guys,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I would.
Sure.
You don't like Jared Goff at all. Man, you got him 31. You got three rookies ahead of him.
Right.
You got Jameis Winston. You got Taysom Hill ahead of Jared Goff.
Yeah. Jared Goff, tell me, what am I signing up for? Is it Sean McVay's offense? I don't know. But I mean, again, with Jared Goff, there's experience, certainly, but not the experience where I would like to see it to be for a guy that's played as long as he has and been to a Super Bowl. There's just too many plays when you watch it and reevaluate where I go, man, bad decision, not understanding the full scope of the game. Hey, it's a bootleg. It's third and one, nobody's open, and go run for the first down. And he throws the ball away or tries to throw the ball into double coverage. That to me concerns me, let alone not great ability, nothing he does off schedule to help the football team that way. Not a top tier thrower of the football. And, so yes, I look at it that way. And let's not forget, Dan, they were doing everything they could in life to start John Wolford at the end of the year. They did not want to start Jared Goff. That was because the play was not good. So, You know, yeah, that's where I stand with him right now.
All right, McLovin, your question for Sims.
Okay, you have Kyler Murray at number 7, the Cardinals quarterback. Yeah. If he's the 7th best quarterback and he has all these Hall of Famers everywhere on this roster and all this talent, how come nobody thinks the Cardinals are going to do anything this year? They're generally considered the 4th best team in that division.
Yeah, I agreed, you know, but it's not all about the quarterback. You know, let's stop that. Stop, you know, McLovin. I know. You know, he makes them considerably better, in my opinion. You know, they're one of the top rushing offenses in football. Not because their O-line is great or their running back's great. It's because Kyler Murray's unbelievable at scrambling, the threat he has to run with the quarterback design, run plays, or the read options. That opens up everything. I'm not so sure he's not, like, the most responsible out of, like, all quarterbacks as far as improving their offense or making it look a lot better than it really is. You know, their scheme itself is nothing special. I break this down on my podcast all the time. If, you know, we do DeAndre Hopkins, his route combinations. I mean, it's limited. It's a lot of that spread four wide. It's a little predictable. And he is the reason it goes. So, yeah, we'll see. Can A.J. Green help them out? You know, we'll see if Larry Fitzgerald plays and all those things. But he's a special, special talent that, you know, it's hard to always quantify his effect on the game or qualify it, you know, through stats because of the pressure he does put on your defense because of his skill set.
Yes, Todd, you got a question?
So, Chris, you have Drew Lock at 33, a lot higher up on the board than I thought. So there's some positivity I should have. If they can't get Aaron Rodgers, there's hope for Denver to chase Kansas City.
Drew Lock has, like, Fritzy, some big-time top-end talent. Like, I am excited about the positives. If we sat all down together and watched Drew Lock the positives, we'd all go, whoa, man, yeah, you're right. He is a little better. Makes a little more, you know, makes more plays than I thought. He does have an explosive arm. He is a pretty good athlete. The big thing, as you know, Fritzy, because I know you're a Broncos fan, he's got to take that, like, Brett Favre element out of his game. Not every throw has to be a 25-yard laser in between four people to fit it in there.
And that's enough. That's enough. Okay. That's enough talk about the Broncos.
Okay.
Yeah,
nobody... Shut up, Fritzy.
You got Ryan Tannehill ahead of Baker Mayfield. Ryan Tannehill at number 12, Baker Mayfield. Do you like Baker Mayfield, or do you just tolerate Baker Mayfield?
No, I do like Baker Mayfield. I do. To me, last year was a huge year for him. Like, showed progress, like, maturity on and off the field. And the one thing that just really popped to me was how many high-level, high-degree of difficulty throws Baker Mayfield made during the year, especially the second half of the year. You know, he's got a great innate ability to where I don't call him a great runner, but he's a great mover. You know, he hops around the pocket and he can make throws kind of from weird angles, or he's got a bootleg and the defense ends there to get him and he kind of makes a move and breaks his ankle and still gets to throw. Or, you know, he's running full speed on a bootleg and there's Jarvis Landry 25 yards downfield and he's open by 3 inches and, man, he rips it in there and doesn't think twice and throws it perfectly. So it's an offense that's not necessarily always quarterback friendly with all these crazy things they do. They ask their quarterback to make big time explosive throws, and he fixed his mechanics last year. He played the game better, and he made a number of big time plays to help their team win football games.
We're talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live. Is number one on the list going to be controversial?
No. No, I will say my top four, as you know, I have not revealed that yet, and that will be Monday. And if you guys want to have me back next week to talk about it or whatever, I do think there's going to be one here in the top four that's going to, people are going to go, whoa, okay. So that's all I'll say to that to tease it. But this is it's a tough exercise, as you can imagine. I'm just setting myself up to get crapped on by everybody, and I deal with it every year.
Ask for this, Chris.
I do. Well, and NBC asks me to do it. Oh. I don't ask. I don't go, hey, let's do it. But it's part of what I do, and I do enjoy it to a degree. It helps me get better feel for the quarterbacks and you know, kind of have that jump off point for the next year. And the other thing you realize, Dan, there's a lot of damn good quarterbacks in football right now. A lot of them. There really is, and it's about the support system and to see how good they're going to be.
You got Tua Tagovailoa 34th.
Yeah.
There's only 32 teams, so he's not good enough to start, in your opinion.
Well, he's not one of the 32 best, the way I see it right now. Yeah, there's question marks, certainly. I mean, you saw last year. Again, it was good, but they had to micromanage him, you know, and then whenever they had to let it loose, we got to take him out. We got to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in. He's admitted he didn't know the offense as well. He didn't make that many plays with his right arm or anything like that. You know, so yeah, I have a lot of questions, you know, and that's the one that seems to be the most polarizing. People think I hate Tua. I root for him. I like the guy. He's charismatic as hell. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, there's nothing to write home about last year to where I go, man, that's special. And he's ready to jump into the top 20. I got to see more and to believe that.
So Mahomes will be one.
You're funny.
Aaron Rodgers is two.
I'm not telling you anything.
What about his mindset? Is he totally committed to playing football here?
I don't know. You'll have to do.
He's in love. He wants to do Jeopardy.
Right.
I don't know. Where's his mind?
Well, maybe Chris Sims took that into account. Maybe you should watch my podcast on Monday and I'll explain all these answers to you.
Where is Deshaun Watson? He's not even on the board.
Well, he's going to be in those top four. He's coming up. Yeah, I mean, I'm not avoiding him right now. I mean, I know
Wait. You got Deshaun Watson, one of the top four quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yes, I do. Yes, without a doubt. No doubt. Yes, he is a superstar.
So Josh Allen's going to be there. Aaron Rodgers, yep. Patrick Mahomes.
You got the four that are left.
Deshaun
That's right.
Watson. Okay.
Yeah. Watson probably had the best year of his career last year. Now, it didn't translate to wins or losses.
Yeah.
I get that. But, I mean, it's horrible defense, no run game, no receivers. You know, they were highly competitive in a lot of games where I'd go, man, if they didn't have Deshaun Watson, this game would be 40-7. They would be getting killed. And here they were in the fourth quarter with a chance to win or, you know, somebody snaps the ball low when he's on the one-yard line. You know, he can't do everything. So that's part of the exercise. It is tough. But, yeah, I look at Watson as certainly being one of the four best quarterbacks in the league right now.
I think you jumped on my Matthew Stafford bandwagon MVP choice. I think you did.
I'm excited for Stafford because Stafford has been in, like, my top 10 almost every year I do this, and people always just can't get over it. And it's, you know, again, it's just – man, bad offense. No great offensive coordinators his whole career. I know he had Megatron. It was him and Megatron. Apparently those two were supposed to win every game by themselves. I get that. You know, no 1,000-yard rushers. The talent is real. It's one of the greatest arms ever. It's still one of the most game-changing arms we've ever seen. And still at this point it is. And I think this year, now with the support, McVay's offense, some receivers, a run game – I hear you. Like, that's, to me, the smart bet. If you want to bet low and get a huge grand prize for MVP, Matt Stafford would be one of those I would recommend to anybody.
You got Ben Roethlisberger down the list here. Should they have drafted a quarterback first round instead of a running back?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, where they were sitting there, of course, they would have had to have made some sort of move to get a quarterback. I think that's why they did sign Dwayne Haskins in the offseason to take let's take a deeper look at him. Mm. Maybe he could be the guy of the future. But I think ultimately, Dan, with like Pittsburgh, they looked at it like, wait, we're closer to the top than the bottom. This is not a rebuild. Our team is kind of ready. And I would imagine, and it sounds like if you listen to anything they're saying, they got to be looking at Tampa. Look at Tampa, you know, with Brady. You know, yeah, you got some good receivers. You can't ask Ben to throw the ball, you know, every play 45 times a game and then not be able to run or scare anybody else with that. So they got to go to that formula, in my opinion. Run the ball, play action, protect him up so he doesn't have to worry, and he'll still dice you up with his right arm, but he's not going to make plays or carry the team anymore if they're going to ask him to be in the shotgun and do it that way all game long.
It's good to talk to you again.
And always.
And I hope you get a whole lot of grief coming up next week.
Oh, no, don't worry. I think it's, you know, it's peaked. I honestly, there's the crazy thing. When I made Brady 10, I was like, man, people will probably be happy about this. This is good. This gets some people off my back. I think it's the worst reaction I've gotten in years out of anybody. I am getting absolutely killed.
Wait, what's the worst reaction you had gotten prior to putting Tom Brady 10th on your list?
Well, I mean, it's probably another Tom Brady, you know, ranking of like putting him at 9 a few years ago or something like that. It's usually that between the New England fans.
You're still upset because you were there as a teammate of Tom Brady's. You were jealous of Tom.
That's what everybody says. I know I was jealous. he was mean to me, all those type of things. And I know nobody can believe that I actually really like the guy and have tremendous respect. But yes, that's the way I see it at age 43, where he is right now. He's still awesome. Obviously can win a Super Bowl, but I don't think he's as good or better than some of those guys I got in front of him. No, I don't.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Dan. Good, guys. See ya.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Frank joins us. He's the Nets studio host on Yes. He's also SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup. He contributes to Around the Horn. Pardon the interruption. Let me start with a poll question. The team that's going to kick themselves the most after last night, the Jazz or the Sixers?
It's going to be the Sixers. They were up 26. The Jazz would be second. And I would put Milwaukee third on that list. So even though Milwaukee played, you know, a Nets team that Harden was clearly not himself, it's still Kevin Durant. So you're losing to a guy having a tremendous performance, and we all know that he's capable of it. I mean, come on, if you're Utah, you're showing up for work in your own building, and Kawhi Leonard's not going to play. And then if you're Philadelphia, up 26, how about the way they played down the stretch of that game? I mean, it's the numbers are off the charts. Think about it, Dan. The fourth quarter of the last two games, Embiid is 1-for-10. And Tobias Harris is 0-for-5, and Ben Simmons has not attempted a shot in the fourth quarter of games 4 and 5. That's remarkable.
Do you have to take him off the floor now late in games?
I think you do. I think once the Hawks get to that fourth foul, I think you got to take him out. If I were Atlanta, I'm not going to intentionally foul to get to my fifth foul. But once I get four, I don't care which quarter it's in, I'm going to foul him because you could tell it's clearly in his head, and it's affecting the Sixers, and the fact that they're going to be on the road. Ben Simmons, I give him credit for this. At least he faced the music last night. He was in front of the media, and to the media's credit, they asked him a lot of questions about his shooting and specifically his free throw shooting, and he stood there and he answered all the questions. Embiid did not meet with the media, but Simmons has to do something. This is now becoming it's one thing for it to happen during the regular season, occasionally in the playoffs. Somebody had a great stat, Dan, that he's already missed more free throws in 10 playoff games, I think it's 45, then Steve Nash missed in his entire career in the playoffs. He missed 44. This guy's already missed 45 in the playoffs. It's hard to believe.
And I know Doc Rivers is trying to say the right thing about Ben Simmons, and he's a unique player, and he's a great player. But I can't you're not a superstar and a liability. You can't be both walking on the floor in the same game.
Yeah. I also think, you know, Shaq struggled with free throws, but you never had the feeling that Shaq was nervous about going to the free throw line. And I think the same thing is true of Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's not a good free throw shooter. Giannis isn't worried in those moments. But when you're not taking a single shot in the fourth quarter of the last two games, when your team blew an 18-point lead and a 25-point lead or a 26-point lead, what does that tell you? To me, it's like he's – I don't want to use the word afraid, but it seems like he's afraid to step up to the free throw line and take those shots. That has got to be a major concern. But you're right about Doc. Doc's doing the right thing. He's going to stand by his player. But this is up to Ben Simmons. He has to figure this out somehow.
All right. So do you have the Clippers figured out now? Because I don't. You know, in the Dallas series, I didn't. Even in the bubble last year, I still didn't have them figured out. Now you don't have Kawhi. Woj says Kawhi's probably doubtful for games 6 and 7, if there is a 7. Yeah. But so now it's Paul George again, and then, that supporting cast.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing it's a significant – they worry that it's a significant ACL injury, so who knows when we'll see Kawhi Leonard. I give Paul George a lot of credit. You know, he gets mocked a lot, and he did not play well in the bubble. I don't like the way the things that he said about Doc Rivers, especially after Doc Rivers had gotten fired. But he's had a couple of big-time performances. Yeah. To go on the road, this was all about the Utah Jazz. They have to win that game. I have not had the Clippers figured out. I will say this. When Marcus Morris plays well, they seem to play well. He's a tough guy. He knocks down big-time shots. Utah completely fell apart last night. They're shooting in the second half. I think they were 3-for-24 on threes. I don't enjoy at times watching them play. When they're moving the ball around, they look good. But there are times when they're just settling for long, deep three-pointers, and it backfired on them big time in the second half.
Frank Isola, he covers the Nets, their studio host on Yes, and a contributor to Around the Horn. Pardon the interruption. Let's focus in on your Nets. What do you expect tonight?
I'll be interested to see how many minutes Kevin Durant plays in the first half. You know, he went 48, obviously, in the last game. I think he's going to come out at some point in the first half of this game. If it's a 10-point game in the fourth quarter, does Steve Nash decide to maybe pull the plug at some point and say, you know what, let's just rest up for game seven? I do think that Harden will knock down a couple of shots. He just, I give him credit for being out there for 46 minutes. He just didn't have it. He was never cutting to the basket. 8 of his 10 shots were threes, which told you he was just settling. I don't think you're going to get 49 points from Kevin Durant. I think you will get a big-time response from the Milwaukee Bucks. I expect them to win this game. I think we're going to get a game seven, which will be a great moment. I just think Durant playing 48 and James Harden playing 46, I think that's going to catch up to the Nets tonight.
I was yelling at the TV the last game because of what the Bucks did and did not do.
I know.
Like, you have Harden out there, you don't take advantage of him, make him run, make him guard somebody. The Greek Freak had chances. He had James Harden guarding him.
I know.
And he doesn't take it to the hoop. He doesn't want to get fouled. He doesn't want to go to the free throw line. I mean, that's a flawed logic here, you know, during crunch time with one of the great players, a 2-time MVP. Crazy.
Yeah, and I thought the Nets did a great job of attacking Brook Lopez. They kept getting him in pick and rolls, and he could not guard, whether it was Jeff Green, whether it was Blake Griffin, or if Kevin Durant turned the corner, Kevin Durant kept beating him to the rim. So the Nets were attacking Brook Lopez, and meanwhile, the Bucks were not attacking James Harden. And you're so right. Late in that game, when the game Durant had finally missed a shot, it was just under 2 minutes to go, and Giannis had the ball, and he's shooting a fadeaway jumper along the baseline. It's like, come on. I love the guy. He's a terrific guy. He's a self-made player. But some of the decisions that he makes late in games, it just drive you nuts. And I also thought a little thing, too, late in the game. When they were down 2, I'm talking about Milwaukee, with under 25 seconds to go, I'm going for the 3 there. Because I'm thinking, if we tie the game, Durant will probably hit a shot at the end of regulation anyway. And if we have to go 5 more minutes, Kevin Durant's going to end up with 60 points. Forget about 49 points. I would have gone for the 3. I get it. Chris Middleton made a good play driving into the lane, and then Giannis fumbled the ball. But you know what? Go for the win at that point, because at that point, you would have been lucky to get out of there with a victory.
And I've still, and I mentioned this yesterday, I've been watching the NBA for over 50 years. I don't understand how the best player on the floor doesn't face a double team to get the ball out of his hands. Not once did Milwaukee truly double team Durant to say, you're not beating us. If Green beats us or somebody else beats us, then that's fine. You're not beating us. I go back to when Jordan hit the shot against the Utah Jazz. I was watching it the other day. I'm yelling, yep. And I know what the end result is. They didn't run anybody at Michael Jordan. I don't understand this logic, Frank.
I know. And if you go back to, I think we were probably at the game when Indiana played the Lakers. It was either game 3 or 4 in Indiana. And when Shaq fouled out, Kobe took over, and they had Mark, you know, Larry Bird had Mark Jackson guarding Kobe, and they never ran a double team at him to get the ball out of his hands. It was so frustrating to watch from a Milwaukee Bucks standpoint. And also, put Giannis on him at some point. You watch the NFL, they put the best cornerback on the best wide receiver, for crying out loud, yeah, to try to stop him. In the fourth, I get it. You don't want to get Giannis in foul trouble early in the game. I think in the fourth quarter, he either entered the fourth with 2 or 3 fouls. So he's not going to foul out at that point. You got to put him on Kevin Durant. Get the ball out of Durant's hands and make guys like Joe Harris, who couldn't make a shot, make him beat you. I get it. Jeff Green had probably the game of his life. But, you know, it's a little bit different when you're taking those shots in a 1-2-point game as opposed to when your team is down 15 and you're wide open and shooting.
I just mentioned LeBron James had comments saying, hey, I told everybody that we were going to have all these injuries here. Do we have all these injuries or just injuries to marquee players? And Anthony Davis is not in shape. That's why he got hurt. Kawhi has been bothered by that knee for a long, long time. James Harden wasn't in shape this year. So when you had a sprained ankle by LeBron, doesn't have anything to do with your conditioning. Kyrie had a sprained ankle, nothing to do with your conditioning. So, you know, LeBron, you kind of want it both ways. Hey, can you limit the regular season here? But they're not offering to give up 25% of their pay. So yeah. While I understand it was a quick turnaround, you had guys who weren't in shape to start the season, and these players aren't going to give any money back.
Yeah, and I think Kawhi was at 52, 53 games this season. So that was not a wear and tear situation. Same thing with Kyrie Irving. He was in the low 50s for games played. So yeah. Same thing with Embiid. Embiid played 51 games this season, then has the torn meniscus. So it's not like only Jokic played 72 games. Everyone else, you know, was in the 50s or the 60s. And if you're LeBron, you're a big part of the union. You guys agreed to do it. To your point, they want it both ways. So you wanted to make all the money you could, and now after all these guys are getting hurt, and there have been a ton of guys that have missed playoff games, you're saying, well, maybe we should have cut it back. To me, that's up to the NBA and the union. I think they blew it. I think they should have played a 60-game season. I think right now we should be in the NBA Finals. I think the season – I mean, Dan, we're not out of the second round yet. And think about where we are on the calendar. When I look up and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to be working July 4th weekend, which I'm used to doing covering free agency, not like being at games. It's going to be a little nutty.
Yeah, even throw in Embiid. He's never really been in shape. I give him credit. He's playing.
Playing well.
The meniscus tear. But a lot of these guys, Donovan Mitchell, that sprained ankle is still there. Like, that's not conditioning. I think sprained ankle is just, yeah. So that's why when I hear this with LeBron, do I want the NBA decided because of injuries? You know, who's the healthiest? No. But, you know, when KD went down or Magic got hurt in the finals against the Pistons, I mean, it happens. It's unfortunate. Klay Thompson goes down. You don't like it, but that's part of the game.
And I think, too, you know, I think back in the day, the old school guys, if they had, it's one thing, like Magic had the hamstring injury, couldn't play. And Harden obviously had to miss some games because of the hamstring injury. And Kyrie Irving obviously can't play now. But I do think there used to be, if guys were banged up a little bit, they just played, and they didn't want you to know about it. Now, guys, they play hurt, and if they have a bad game, they make sure at their post-game press conference they ask you about it. I always say this about Patrick Ewing. Patrick had bad knees, obviously. If you asked Patrick Ewing about his injury or his knees, he would give you the death stare. You're like, no, don't go down that road talking about my body, how I'm banged up and I'm hurt. I think guys now can't wait to tell you, well, the reason I didn't play well is because I'm dealing with this situation. I think there's a little of that at play as well.
But you also, with gambling, don't we have to know this now? It's full disclosure that I need to know what's going on with, you know, the fact that Tom Brady had knee surgery in the offseason and was not on the injury report due to his knee during the regular season. Like, that's not supposed to happen in this, you know, world of gambling.
But I think a lot of it, too, is gamesmanship. They don't want you to know that. So
sure.
The Nets, I thought it was gamesmanship with them when they announced that James Harden had been upgraded from out to questionable. I thought that was something they would just wanted to mess with the Milwaukee Bucks. But if you look at Harden's career, we're talking about guys that don't play, you look at his career numbers of games played. If he's healthy, he's out there, but you're 100% right. And I love Harden. I love the way he plays. He showed up out of shape in Houston. So forget about the, you know, forcing his way out. He was never in shape, and you have to think that probably impacted his hamstring somehow. But if he can, he'll be out there, and he showed that the other night with 46 minutes.
Have fun tonight, Frank. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. I'll see you guys.
Frank Isola.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.